One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by FabFitFun. And it's so fun. Guys, I'll tell you about it later. Give you a little discount code. How you doing? I feel like everyone is talking about this whole full moon thing or special moon. I don't know. I just feel like people keep bringing it up. And additionally on, it's supposed to be kind of sending us all out of sorts or whatever. I don't really follow this stuff, but I just feel like I keep hearing about it. And additionally on Sunday nights, so just a couple nights ago, I went to this like full moon women's meditation thing that Kristen Doty's t-shirt line James May put on. Coolest freaking thing. Listen, I'm into meditation and all that stuff, and but like to do it with like 20 to 30 other women in Malibu. We did a meditation, and then we wrote down things that we wanted to release that we were holding on to. And then we also wrote a list of intentions, and the stuff that we wanted to release, we then burnt in a little bonfire thing. And so not only was it just the coolest experience, but, so it was held in Paradise Cove in Malibu. And for those of you that don't know what that is, like there's like a Paradise Cove restaurant, like right by the beach, but then there's a gated community just above it. So it's pretty deep in Malibu, and you have to like drive up this, you know, windy road to the top of a mountain hill thing, and it's a little gated community. Anyways, so that's where it was held. And afterwards, like me, Kristen, and a few of the other girls were hanging around a little bit longer with the two women that ran it. And so then they start explaining. We're all sitting around this bonfire, and it's like 10 p.m., and they start explaining that the houses and the whole community of Paradise Cove, they found out back in like the 70s when they originally built the restaurant that it was built on Chumash Indian burial ground. So anyways, so the girl will start saying like, yeah, I basically have several Native American men that live in my house with me. I'm like, what do you mean? She was like, yeah, my house is super haunted by these Native American men. I don't know how she knows exactly they're men. She's like, I'm like, so how often do you even like, you know, notice anything? And she was like, probably like, I don't know, once every hour they will like bang on something or turn a light on and off or whatever. And I'm like, you're just fine with it? And they were like, actually, I feel really protected. So there's two girls there, and both of them have a house about, you know, five houses from each other. And so they both have these stories, and they were like, yeah, actually it makes you feel really safe, and we're all just very used to it, and da 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 da. She's like, one of our neighbors though, she goes, their hauntings are not quite as like peaceful. Like I guess like theirs will like throw plates across the room and stuff. I'm like, this is so cool. It's so insane. So she was like, yeah, she's like, the way they found out about it is when they built the restaurant like back in the 70s and they dug up the ground, they found the remains of like over 60 bodies. And obviously now they have all these rules that you have to be careful and you can't dig and everything after they discovered that. And she goes, yeah. And then about a year ago, they were doing some electrical work on all of the houses in the neighborhood. And she said on every street, they cut just a 1 foot little trench thing. And on their street alone, in the 1 feet of trench along the road, they found another six bodies. So she's telling me all this. I'm fascinated, not freaked out, until I realize I parked about a half a mile away from the house because there was not really street parking. So I parked in this dirt, you know, like kind of a dirt road abandoned lot type of thing. And then I was like, oh my God, I have to walk back to my car by myself now in the dark. Like, shit. But I didn't even think about it until, like, I'd already, like, said bye to everyone and I left earlier. And I probably could have had someone walk with me, but then I was just like, well, I'm already outside. Might as well just do it. So I'm walking back to my car and it's, like, now probably, like, 10:30 at night. And I just heard the story of all these hauntings. And I'm like, I am so scared right now. And it's really remote. Like, there's a bunch of houses around, but it does feel super, super remote. And so I got my taser in one hand. I got my mace in the other hand. I have my keys through my knuckles. And I'm using my phone as like a flashlight. And by the way, no light, no street lights, nothing. It's pitch black. And so I'm walking back to my car and I have to pass this little park thing. And first thing that freaked me the hell out is there was just a random bicycle that someone either abandoned there or someone was somewhere and in the bushes or somewhere and they just left their bike there. And so I was like, oh my God, like this is the night I get murdered. This is, screw the Native American hauntings. Like I hope they protect me. Like now I'm just going to get murdered. I'm in the middle of nowhere. This is terrifying. So I'm walking, see the bike. And then I'm about maybe, I don't know, 100 feet from my car at this point. And in the middle of the night, 10:30 at night, all of a sudden a man starts running towards me with a flashlight. I'm like, literally, I don't think my heart's ever pounded so hard in my life. I was like, what is my game plan right now? I got the mace, I got the taser. Like, do I just start spraying once he gets close? Do I give him the benefit of the doubt? Why are you running towards me with a flashlight at night? And so, I mean, he gets towards me. He gets right up to me. And I go, hi. Because I'm like, oh, just, you know, make yourself known. And he kind of just like, well, he was, here's the thing. He wasn't trying to attack me or anything, but he was jogging shirtless at night with a flashlight. And so he just kind of like grunted at me and like ran past. But like, how terrifying, running towards me in the middle of the night, right after I'd heard this scary story. And so I basically, oh, and by the way, might I just add too, he was just kind of doing like laps up and down his street. So he ran past me and then about 5 seconds later, turned around and starts running back towards me again. He passed me again before I was able to get into my car. And I got in my car, quickly locked the doors and was just and like basically sped off. And I was like, I don't, obviously he did not mean any harm, thank God, but terrifying, terrifying. Anyways, I just had to share that. But other than that, great experience. I burned some things I'd been holding on to, some things I wanted to release, which I think is a great thing to do. If you guys, you know, hopefully you guys did something like that. Like, it's not good to hold on to, you know, negative thoughts or patterns or, you know, resentment or anger or victim mentality or any of that stuff. So it felt really good to be able to release that and then get charged at by a jogger at night. Yeah. Anyways, as always, I want to thank you guys so, so, so very much for listening to the podcast and supporting me. And, you know, it just means so much. And I saw I got several reviews come in last week after I asked for review, positive reviews and 5 stars for my birthday present. So I want to thank you for that. And if you could, I just so appreciate it if you would leave 5 stars and a good review, because it just helps to keep the podcast going. And yeah, I love you guys. You guys are my friends. And I hope to see you soon in one of the cities that I'm in. I'm still putting together a tour. But right now I will be in Seattle, Washington, August 22nd at Laughs Comedy Club. You can get tickets either at rachelobriancomedy.com or at the Laughs Comedy Club website. That's going to be so fun. I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of people I know there. And we're going to have a blast, so let's party. And then I mentioned on the last couple podcasts that I will be in Bozeman, Montana, performing at the Hot Springs. it now looks like it's just going to be a meet and greet. So still come out and hang. Yeah. So that's, I will be there July. Well, I'll be there at the Hot Springs July 21st through the 24th. So I'm there the whole time, but I think that we still wanted to maybe do the meet and greet like on the 22nd, which is a Tuesday. Anyways, well, again, guys, thank you so much for listening. I love you. And my guest today, super excited. You guys know her and love her from Vanderpump Rules and from her podcast, Shenanigans. She's adorable. She really opens up on this podcast. I'm pretty sure she reveals some stuff that I don't think she's talked about publicly yet. So some dating little heartbreaks and some she answers some listener questions. One specifically that I kept getting asked after Brittany and Jax's wedding about her and Shep. She's super candid about that. So, yeah, she's awesome. She's adorable. Without further ado, give it up for Miss Sheena Shea. Sheena.
Hey.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me again. It's been a while.
I know. I love your new apartment.
Thank you.
It's gorgeous. Your patio is bigger than most people's apartments.
It's literally bigger than all of my friends' New York's apartments and some in
LA.
Well,
that's not hard to do. Yeah. Yeah. But it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Did you move this far away from everyone to actually just get away from everyone?
Obviously.
And I'm not talking about like the hustle and bustle of West Hollywood. I'm talking about like our group of friends.
I mean, at first I moved to Vegas. I mean, as if that wasn't far enough. And then when I moved back, I just loved being away from everything and everyone so much.
Yeah.
That I was like, you know what? Park La Brea is just a little too in the mix. Like, I need to be away. I also love to travel. And when I was living in Vegas, I was flying every week because I would do my show six nights a week. After every Tuesday night show, I would fly to LA, do my podcast on Wednesday, fly back Thursday. And I'm like, okay, if I'm going to keep this up, like traveling back and forth, I need to be closer to an airport.
That's true. So, you are so much closer because it literally tacks on at least an extra hour to
totally.
Live in West Hollywood to get to the airport.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
And I save so much money on Ubers. It's literally a $12 Uber for me to get to LAX.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny is I feel like when you were living in Vegas, you were more likely to see people that you knew than you are living on the west side of Los Angeles.
Right?
Because like, no one comes there.
Totally. Yeah. It was like every week when I flew back from Vegas, like I saw like so many people that like I don't see as much now. I'm like, why when I lived in Vegas did we hang out all the time like every week and now I never see you?
I don't see my friends that live on the west side. I don't, it's just a thing. Like
yeah.
No one wants to, it's easier to go to the valley for some reason from where we live. Like the
yeah.
west side just seems like a trek.
I mean, honestly, for me living here, it's easier to go to the valley than it is to go to West Hollywood.
How? Where?
Because like all of our friends live off like the 170 or the 101.
Yeah.
So I'm right off the 90,
yeah.
hop on the 405, get on the 101. I'm at in the valley in 25 minutes.
Whereas that we're just giving people on the podcast directions around Los
right?
Angeles. This is great content.
They're like, what?
They're like, I don't, what are you talking about?
And you know how people like, I think it's like only a California thing where you say like the 90, the 405. Mm-hmm. Like other places,
they're
like,
we're so arrogant.
Yeah.
We're like, it's, you know, the only one.
Highway
called
101. Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's the 101.
Yeah. No, it's because we think it's the only highway called that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like, actually? I've never really talked to you about your Vegas show. Like, did you feel like Britney Spears? Or, like, was it literally, like, I mean, I guess I can relate to it being a stand-up, but as a stand-up, it's literally, like, I put on whatever outfit, you know, most likely I'm trying to not look cute.
Yeah.
Just go on stage, it's just one microphone and me, and I talk for an hour. Like, you had a full, like, full-on show.
Yeah, I mean, it is actually very similar to stand-up. If you were doing the exact same routine mm-hmm. every night for like 5 months,
yeah,
that was what I was doing. I mean, I wore the exact same thing, but I had a couple changes. So mm-hmm. I started out in this like nerdy teacher librarian outfit, and then very early in the show, like the second act, I change, then I'm in like a cute sexy cocktail dress, and then by the end of it, I'm stripping out of the cocktail dress and I'm like taking off piece by piece. I didn't get naked,
yeah,
but I'm in like a bra and like a high-waisted like bottom part.
Whoa, was... the cat just literally is that what they do? They just
they just jump. Jesus. Every time I'm doing my podcast here, they just like want to be on top of the machine. I'm like, go away.
I know, they were, I was like, that one's gonna step on it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I had like a few quick changes, which took a little bit of time to get used to because it's a live show. Yeah. So, you know, with the music and the cues and everything, you only have so much time to change. But it was literally the best experience of my life, probably other than doing Tyler Henry Hollywood Medium. Like that show.
I would love to do that.
It was incredible. But like living in Vegas and doing a show every night, it's just
a blast.
Yeah. And I've never.
I would 100% do that.
Yeah. And plus, I've never really had like a full time, like normal job. So this like gave me that discipline in my life that I felt like it was the right time. I was going through a breakup, I was not in a good place at all. And moving away, starting over, having new friends, having something to look forward to doing every single night.
Kept
and
you busy too, so you're not like at home like sad going through the breakup.
Exactly.
You're like actually doing something and keeping your mind busy.
Right. And you can relate to this. Being able to be on stage and make people laugh every night, it was the most validating, like best feeling ever.
I'm surprised you're able to like not do it right now. Like because you get so addicted to the feeling.
I know.
Of like, do you think you'll do it again?
I'm thinking about going back at the end of the year for a few months.
Be the same show?
Same show.
So they just do like guest spots, like rotating. Didn't Kendra?
Kendra started it. Kendra Wilkinson and Jay Rodriguez started the show. And then Chester Lockhart and I took over for them. Mm-hmm. I would only do the show again if it were Chester or Jay opposite me. Mm-hmm. The Stefan character, who's like the tall, sexy, straight guy who has like an accent, he was like my love interest. I loved the guy Chris who did the show with me. He's not in it right now, so I'm like, that character could switch out, but I do have to kiss that character every night, so it has to be someone like I want to kiss every night.
Yeah,
or at least I'm okay kissing.
I mean, can't you fake it?
Yeah, totally. But I mean, we had fun with it, like we would like mess with each other. Like there were sometimes where he just stuck his tongue down my throat and I wasn't expecting it, and I'm like, whoa. Or there was like a time where I'd like pinch him really quick, and it was like, we just had so much fun with it.
I'm so bummed I didn't get to see it. I hope you do it again.
I know. I really, even if like I do just like a guest like spot like on the weekend or something, like I really just want to do it again because so many of my friends didn't get a chance to come out and see it. And like, you know, at the time, like Chris and Katie, Stassi and I weren't really friends, so like none of them got to come out and see it. And I know now if I were doing it, the entire cast of Vanderpump Rules would be out there.
I wish you would do it during the summer so that could be filmed too.
I wanted to. I'm like, why don't we have, you know, like Vanderpump Cocktail Garden, have me do my show. We can do a little thing in Vegas. But Lisa personally has been through so much in her life right now. I think that was something we had talked about doing, but that's kind of put on hold right now, obviously.
So your friendships with everyone are like back to when did everyone start getting along again, at least in terms of for you?
I would say about a year ago. It was like mid last summer. Solving was a really big turning point for us, and I'm so bummed that there were so many fun scenes we filmed that no one got to see, because it was like,
because they don't care about when it's fun and
of
funny.
Course not. Why would
care?
They care
they're
about
like, oh god, cut that, they're laughing.
Exactly. Wait, they're having fun.
No,
they
one's
like
crying?
Each other.
God, cut that shit.
Yeah, but there was this moment where we were on, it was like a horse ranch winery, and Lala and Ariana were riding horses. Brittany was sick in the hotel room.
Oh.
And so it was just myself, Kristen, Katie, and Stassi. And we just got so drunk. And I was just telling them about my date with Robbie Hayes and then this other guy from The Bachelorette I was talking to. And they're like, oh my God, you're like a real life bachelorette. And they just had so much fun with all of my single stories.
Yeah.
That we just totally bonded again in that moment, and then it just slowly has grown back into a really good friendship again.
Yeah, I think it was just partially like, I mean, we talked about this on your podcast that when you were dating the doorman,
thank you.
you just were. I think he made you so anxious that
all the time.
Yeah, that you just you couldn't be yourself, and I think you probably, I would guess, because I've been in relationships like that before, where like, you make yourself so available for them because like you kind of always feel like could I be on the outs at any time? So
right.
Like you don't make the time for your friends.
Yeah.
It's a huge mistake.
No, I felt so pathetic in that relationship looking back, like in hindsight. I think just at the time, you know, my marriage failed And I was so used to being in a relationship at that point that I just hopped into another one and just, I lived my same life and just changed the person living
That's
in
a
it
really
with
good
me.
Way to put it. Yeah.
Like for Shay, I mean, he had to completely start over. He moved back in with his parents. He had to get a new job. He had like lost a bunch of his friends in LA because, you know, it was kind of weird. It was like, it's not that everyone picked my side, but at the time everyone distanced themselves from him.
Well, it's hard because everyone knew Shay through you though.
Totally.
So like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
So it's like, you know, as much as his world was turned upside down, but also, you know, his fault.
Yeah.
But I just kept living my same life and just replaced the person in it.
Do you feel like that was like kind of, even though it was probably easier to just sort of replace someone and not have to like hit rock bottom, essentially like Shay did, and you would have never had to hit rock bottom like that because it wasn't your fault. However, do you feel like you would have grown to the person you are now quicker had you not just jumped in with Rob? Does that make sense? Because I feel like you've grown a lot from the situation.
Yes and no. No more so because Rob, ugh, I hate saying his name, Doorman was like a huge learning experience for me. And he really taught me what my worth is and what I deserve. And that's way better than him.
Yeah.
He was the most selfish human I've ever dated in my entire life. It was all about him all the time. That was all he cared about. I lived my life for him. I, you know, if his dog needed to go to the groomer, if she needed to be fed, if she needed to get dropped off, like whatever it was I did for him. If he needed a co-host on his stupid show, I co-hosted for him. I got in trouble with, like, you know, contractually because I was doing things that I wasn't getting permission for because he needed me.
Yeah.
And it was just like I was doing everything just to make his life easier, whatever I could do, because I was so desperate for this to work. It was someone who was in my life, you know, 10 years prior, someone who was always kind of like the one that got away, the what if.
Yeah.
And I was just in my head, I remember telling myself when we started dating, I'm like, if this doesn't work out, like, I'm not going to be okay. So everything I did was,
and
just,
you needed to save face with everyone.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I said that this would work, and he was someone I dated a long time ago, and like, it has to work.
Yeah. No,
this
it's
is
not
my fairy tale.
Yeah. It's not too soon after the divorce. I totally processed the divorce in 3 weeks. I'm totally fine.
I'm fine. Everyone, I'm fine. Botox. So
right. Exactly. Thank God for Botox.
So funny. Do you feel like he used you at all? Like when you say like you had to be a host on a show and like
it's hard for me to say good things about him because I despise him so much. Yeah. I genuinely still to this day do not believe he used me. He wanted nothing to do with Vanderpump Rules. It was pulling teeth to get him to do the show, and everyone else will say otherwise, but I truly don't believe he used me.
I mean, only you really know that. I mean,
right.
Yeah. And everyone can speculate like, oh, but he was filming. It's like, but if you had to pull teeth to make him do it, then.
And also the way he was around my friends, and I mean, he was a different person on camera. He was completely shut down on camera. And after that rumor about him cheating on me, he just shut down in life. Like, we were never the same again.
Yeah.
And he stayed with me because he didn't want me to have a breakup storyline after a divorce storyline. I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much for pity staying with me and then breaking up with me 2 weeks after we wrapped.
Did he tell you that? That's why he did that?
Yeah, he fought it out and stayed with me all summer because
he
didn't.
It would have been better if you broke up on camera.
Exactly.
Because then you wouldn't have looked like you were trying to like salvage something where someone wasn't being nice to you.
Yeah. I know. I wish he would have just dumped me when that happened. I would have been like, okay, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
If you're not man enough to deal with a little rumor that you kissed a girl when I know you didn't, I'm not accusing you of it. We're not fighting over it. I called you like low-key laughing, being like, oh my God, you will not believe the latest gossip about you. And he's like, what? And just in that moment on that phone call, I just felt him shut down like over the phone. And then when I saw him a couple days later, it just was never the same.
I do think for someone that like didn't necessarily want to do the show and like during filming, like something that could hurt their reputation, he probably just shut down in general. Like,
yeah.
Very much like was, yeah.
So it was never the same. And he literally just like, you know, waited until the end of filming, broke up with me, broke my heart, then strung me along for, was it August, September, October, November, December, about 4.5 more months. Just like we were friends with benefits. And then that for me in my fucked up mind was still working because I'm like, no, I still have him. And he wasn't hooking up with anyone else. But the second I did, he lost his shit. And I'm like,
I feel like that's happened to you more than once recently where like someone,
yeah.
Didn't that happen with, Adam. I forgot for a lot to talk about that. Yeah. Where he didn't want to date you.
Uh-huh.
And then you hooked up with someone else and then he freaked out.
Lost his shit.
That is such an obnoxious male ego
thing. I know. Like, and you know now.
You said, I went out of the, didn't you go out of the way, like wrote Adam a card and were like, okay, I think we should try this.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Like, what do we have to lose? Mm-hmm. Like, we're best friends. We're clearly attracted to each other. We have this insane connection. Why don't we just try it? If it doesn't work out and we break up, then we break up. Mm-hmm. But like what we're doing now isn't working. And he was just like, literally that day he read the card, he had tears in his eyes and he was just like, I don't know what to say. He's like, I'm terrified of commitment. I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can ever commit to anyone. Oh, fast forward to last week. I'm on a flight back from Kentucky and I'm getting all of these screenshots sent to me. My Wi-Fi was only working on messaging. So I just have all these tap to download. I'm like, what is
this?
What
are they?
So I land and I get all of these pictures now downloaded. And there were fans on Instagram sending me random DMs. Janet, my friend Dana, Logan. It just several people.
Quick side note, that's so funny to me when people don't think you're gonna find out. Like if you're dating someone that has a podcast and is somewhat like high profile, like that's how I found out that loser, I'm not gonna say his name, the last guy I dated, cheated on me. Some girl DM'd me like, are you that stupid? If you're gonna be a cheater or like try to hide something, then don't date someone that other people will know.
Right,
like that's so dumb. Anyways, continue.
So I get all of these photos sent to me and he was on a romantic vacation in Mexico with this chick who he has told me for the last 3 years is just a friend. She was dating one of his buddies from college. Like she was his only other platonic girlfriend like that he had. Like, I mean, it was me and then we crossed the line, but she was just a friend. And then I see all of this shit and I'm like, whoa, homie, you were just on my couch cuddling me watching a movie last week after you picked me up at the airport and you're now on a vacation.
Wait,
this is
like only a few weeks ago?
Oh, this is like last week, the last 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who did he post it on his Instagram or how do these people get DMs?
He posted on his Instagram. He posted a photo with his arm around her and he's posted photos with her before, but he also has posted similar photos with me when I was with dude.
Okay.
And just like when we were just friends. So I'm like, well, we posted photos like that together. And I'm like, that's just his friend. So that photo to me, when I saw that, I was like, that's nothing. Like whatever. And I had also muted him months ago, but I only saw that photo because I was sitting next to my mom at the airport and she was scrolling on Instagram and I saw it and I was like, what's that? And she's like, wasn't going to tell you. You've muted him. You said you didn't want to know. And I was like, yeah, but now it's right here in front of my face.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. It looks like they're dating. And I was like, no, Adam's not dating someone. Like he can't commit. Remember?
So did the people that were DMing you, did they somehow have other photos?
So I guess he had posted one, another static post, and then deleted it. But on his story, I guess he had posted some things, but people were then, she, had her account public. Uh-huh. So people were going on her page and she has this whole like highlight of like 2019 with a heart and had all these like romantic photos of them, like two drinks, two coffees, two this, them cave diving, them holding hands. Then I was like, what?
Oh my God, I can't wait to look at this after we're done podcasting.
I was shook.
So what'd you do? Did you call him on it?
Fuck yeah, I did. So he got back the same day I got back from Kentucky.
What a liar.
Yeah. So
because I would have believed it, to be perfectly honest, I would have believed him too if I were you, because you guys were just platonic for a while. So it's like clearly he can have platonic friendships. Uh-huh. And then you guys crossed the line and you probably just didn't assume he crossed the line with two friends at the same time.
No, exactly. So I decided to meet up with him in person because I was like, I was texting him about it and that was going nowhere. And he's like, I'm not texting you about this. Like, this is a double standard, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, then meet up with me in person. So we did. And I meet him on the rooftop of the place he works at. It was like really hot that day. Literally sits down, takes his fucking shirt off. What a douchebag, to show me his perfect abs and like tan from his Mexican vacation.
Oh God, but I wouldn't have cared. I'd be like, put your shirt back on.
No, I was just like, gross. And I'm like, you know what? We're going to make this real quick and wrap it on up. And I was like, how long?
Do you think he took it off to like literally be a douche or was he just hot?
I think both, but just to be a douche.
Okay.
So he does that and then he's like, just like kind of like leans back and he's like, I mean, I don't really know what to say. I'm like, I don't know what you want. And I'm like, Are you okay? Like, you're psychotic. Like, you are a fucking sociopath. Like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, how long has this been going on for? He says 7 weeks. And I'm like, interesting, because we weren't talking for a while, like back in April. Mm-hmm. And for the last 7 weeks, we have been talking. We have been hanging out. You didn't think once to mention you're like talking to someone. Yeah. Like, not at all.
And you know, I'm going to see it on social media.
Exactly. Like, you are that dumb. Okay. Yeah. And he was even so dumb as to bring her into fucking Tom Tom. And
when?
Yeah, this was about 8 weeks ago, 8-9 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And
when you still thought they were just friends, though.
Right, but yeah. I didn't know it was her. So Janet was there that night. Max, who is the manager at Tom mm-hmm. Tom, they both let me know that Adam was there with the girl. So I texted him the next day and I was like, yo, I was like, I know you were at Tom Tom last night with the girl. Just if it's a friend from college, like that's what I assume. I'm not going to get crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not hooking up anymore. But like, if you are dating someone, I would just appreciate if like you had enough respect for me to just give me a heads up instead of taking them into basically my place of employment.
Yeah.
Like all the Vanderpump restaurants, like I work there basically.
Yeah.
So like all of my friends work there. I'm there
everyone's
four nights
gonna
a week.
Tell you about it. Everyone's gonna talk about it. It's embarrassing.
I'm gonna find out. And he's like, oh god, no, that's my friend from college. I used to work for her dad. Like, it's nothing. Now come to find out, oh, not only were you at TomTom with her, you took her to a Dodger game, you took her to the fucking Venice Pier. You're going around all these places that I'm at.
They went to Mexico.
And then they go to Mexico.
So was Janet able to say, like, see the photo and then be like, that's the girl he was with at Tom Tom?
Actually, you know what? I never even asked because I really just don't even give a fuck
so
anymore.
So how did you put it two and two together that it was the same person?
Because she was in LA on her highlight. There's like a Dodger Stadium, Venice Beach.
Oh, she doesn't live here.
No, she lives in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So it was the same time that he was with the girl at Tom Tom.
Oh, so yeah, it's the same one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So long story short, he says that it's a double standard. And he's like, well, the amount of guys like you've hooked up with or dated in the last year. And I'm like, Adam, here's the difference. If you were just casually hooking up with someone, that would be a double standard for me to get mad at you. I have zero right to say mm-hmm. anything. You're posting a romantic vacation with her. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And he was like, you used to post shit with Max all the time when you guys were dating. I was like, no. I never did a static post. I never posted anything coupley. I never posted anything on story, just the two of us. There was always Zach, Logan, or James, Raquel, someone else mm-hmm. in the snaps or Insta stories that I posted out of respect for him. Also, when I started dating Max, 3-4 days in, mm-hmm. I sat Adam down face to face. I was like, just so you know, I'm interested in this person. We're going to see where it goes. Max sat him down and was like, yo, bro, like, I know you and Sheena aren't dating, but just man to man, like, as like, you know, like
yeah,
an acquaintance of yours.
Thing to do. That's but like he above and beyond.
Yeah.
Nice. He didn't need to do that.
But he didn't think that I was owed that same respect. And he goes, well, what's the difference if you were? He's like, I mean, I didn't want to hurt you, so that's why I didn't say anything. I'm like, so you think me finding out on social media from strangers, like from DMs, from fans, like you think that was the way I wanted to find out? You think that doesn't hurt? And he goes, well, if it's going to hurt you either way, what's the difference?
Ew.
And I go, you know what? The
wow.
difference
you
is.
You can't hang out with him anymore if he's gonna.
I said, the difference is, had you been a man and told me to my face, mm-hmm. you would have still had a friend in me. But you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You were a coward. I feel sorry for your girl. Good luck to you. I'm out. I grabbed my purse. I walked away. I've not heard from him since. We've unfollowed each other. He didn't try and reach out. He didn't try and chase after me. Mm-hmm. Call me after. Text me. Nothing. I'm like, wow, you really are just a piece of shit who just doesn't care about me or my feelings after everything I've done for him. Iceland, numerous favors, rides. Like, I can't even name how many things I did for that kid. And I'm just like, wow, you don't even
so
think.
So disappointing. Like, so friendship over, you don't think you'll ever forgive
completely
him?
Completely done, dead. Mm-hmm. Like, I even, like, I, it makes me sad, but, like, I even, like, unfollowed his sister-in-law and friends because I just don't want to see anything
yeah.
about him anymore. I did this, last night you were there, the mm-hmm. meditation thing that yeah. we did.
Was that one of the things you released?
Yeah, that was the first thing I released. I was going to just write Adam 3 times, but I wrote Adam, I wrote Rob, and then I wrote anger because I've been holding on to some anger mm-hmm. that I'm trying to just let go of.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I literally feel like a weight's been lifted because he was such a toxic energy in my mm-hmm. life, but I loved him so much mm-hmm. that I couldn't let go. And I'm like, thank you for making it so easy for me
sometimes
to get over you.
Sometimes that helps. Like, you just need that, like, kick in the ass where you're just like, oh my God, they're an asshole.
Yeah.
It's so amazing to me, like, how little pride a lot of guys have nowadays. Where, like, yeah. he would let you, like, take him to Iceland and do all these things, but and then still lie to your face. And then when you call him on something later, just being like, well, if you're going to find out anyways, it's like, do you not know that you look like an asshole?
Yeah. And I'm like,
do you
Adam,
just not care?
You literally could have sat me down and been like, look, here's the thing, Sheena. Like, I know I said last summer, like, I couldn't commit and I possibly could never commit to anyone. Mm-hmm. And that's just, like, not in the cards for me. But, like, you know, so-and-so and I have been friends for a long time. Things have kind of taken a turn. I just, like, want to give you the respect and heads up that, like, you might see some stuff on social media. I'm so sorry if this hurts you. Like, he was too much of a pussy to say that to me. I'm like, mm-hmm. It would have just taken a few sentences and we could have, the friendship would have absolutely changed. I would have way distanced myself. But I still would have wished him a happy birthday, a Merry Christmas, been here for him if he needed a ride from the airport. Like, mm-hmm. We still could have been, like, light friends, more acquaintances, but I wouldn't have despised him and had this, like, negative feeling towards him. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, fuck you and good riddance, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's better that you know. Mm-hmm. Better that you know. And I feel like you're doing the right thing with dating, though, where you're like, because you were in so many monogamous relationships for so long,
yeah.
Married and then Rob right afterwards, that, like, you're finally doing this, like, long period of time where, like, you're dating around.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting, like, you're not that upset about Adam. I mean, you
no.
know, I mean, you're hurt, but more so it seems on a friendship level.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, did I see myself marrying Adam and growing old with him and living happily ever after? No. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't ready for it to end. I wasn't ready for the sex to end or the friendship or mm-hmm. anything we were doing. I've never even... with my ex-husband, my ex-boyfriend, I never had the type of connection I had with Adam and the passion that I had with him. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to let that go because I was afraid I would never find that again. Mm-hmm. I haven't
but
yet.
You will. I mean,
I hope so. But also, like, I hope I find that passion with someone who treats me with respect.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
He didn't do that. He yeah. used me.
Well, because also eventually passion will go away and respect's not something that you can ever really... If someone didn't respect you from the beginning, they're probably never going to respect you.
Exactly.
You know? And, like, passion's something that can get better with time or go away with time. Like, respect's something you have to have, like, overall.
Yeah.
No matter what.
And he just clearly didn't respect me because he couldn't even have the balls. He had 8 weeks he's been dating this chick. 2 months you've had to tell me to my face every time we've hung out, had lunch, conversed over the phone, like, anything. You've had so much time to tell me, like...
Oh, you think they've been dating solid for 8 weeks?
That's what he told me.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah. I said, how long has this been going on for? And at the time, this was now... It's been, like, a week and a half.
At
the time,
he
said...
But it's someone he was just platonically friends with before.
Yes.
But they have now gone to the dating thing for 8 weeks.
Yep.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. I feel like there's been so many birthdays back-to-back this summer. I mean, it just feels like that every summer, I guess. But if it hasn't been your birthday, you can still treat yourself with FabFitFun. It literally is like having a little like celebration for yourself every single time you receive your FabFitFun box. So who else has tried FabFitFun? If you don't already know about it, it's a seasonal box with full-size beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. The box I received is epic. And each season's box features a variety of amazing quality brands. Big time quality brands like Tarte, Kate Somerville, Anthropologie, Free People, Dr. Britt, and that's just the beginning of it. And you don't want to miss out because they sell out fast. And FabFitFun retails for $49.99, but it always has a value of over $200. But if you use my coupon code BEHERE, you're going to get $10 off your first box at FabFitFun.com. Okay, so check out www.FabFitFun.com and use the code BEHERE so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. Again, that's FabFitFun.com and use the code BEHERE. You deserve to treat yourself. Are you dating anyone else now that you want to talk about?
I also
got a lot of messages from people after the wedding when I did a recap asking if you'd hooked up with Shep. Literally, like, I did a podcast with Lauren Workus and
yeah.
we recapped the wedding. And a lot of things were like, oh, how, like, you know, who was there? Like, who paid for the wedding? Was it really beautiful? And then it was like, did Sheena hook up with Shep? Couple more questions. Did Sheena hook up with Shep? Couple more questions. Who did Shep hook up with?
Oh, my God. No, Shep was too drunk to hook up with anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a, like, 5-second sloppy makeout. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't do this. You're too drunk. Like,
yeah.
And at least he knew my name. I mean, I've known him for years, but
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, he was,
he knows your name,
no, then. No, but he was like, couldn't remember anyone's name the entire night. And I was like, do you know my name? He's like, obviously it's Sheena. So he just called everyone Sheena the entire night because he was the only
oh
name.
Oh my God. He
knew.
Had a nickname for Janet too. It was like,
oh yeah, Linda.
Linda. Yeah.
Linda.
He was just like, I'm not going to yeah remember anyone's name.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He was. So the answer to the question, guys, you did not hook up with him.
We did not hook up.
Would you ever date Shep?
No. You know, I've thought about it before, but like the fact that he's 37 and still just like in this like frat boy party mode. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's ever truly going to grow out of that. And he just, I love him. I think he's such a dear human. Like mm-hmm. he's honestly probably the funniest male I've ever met in my entire life. Mm-hmm. He just makes me laugh. And like, we have such a great time together.
Yeah.
But it's the drinking. It's a problem.
Yeah. I couldn't deal with that. No. I mean, but I agree. I love him too. I think he's great. I mean, there's people that have like negative opinions about him, but like, I don't, I mean, he's been nothing but wonderful to me. And like, I feel like I got to know him like really well at the wedding. And like, I don't know. I just think he's a great dude.
I do too. And you know what? Maybe
he may grow up. I think when you're born into like that kind of wealth and like, and I think that Charleston truly is like a such a party town, because I think it's just like a lot of like people, like guys that do that have no reason to grow up.
Yeah,
like LA can be kind of like that, but it is also so expensive here, and people in LA also go on like health kicks and stuff. Like, it's actually kind of cool to be sober or to not be shit-faced and stuff. And I just think that that's the culture of Charleston, the culture of the South, and so it's harder maybe for them. I don't know, like, it's not frowned upon at all,
right? And you know what? Maybe his party girl is out there waiting for him, you know, but I don't think it's me. Actually, I know it's not me.
Yeah.
That was kind of like, we've like hung out and like, I mean, we've hooked up before. I've never slept with him, but like mm-hmm. we've definitely rounded several bases.
When? Like in New York or something?
This was when he did my podcast last year. It was one of LA? Yeah, uh-huh. I think I was pretty sure I was still living in Vegas at the time, but it was.
That's why I guess I was wondering where like random listeners would even have gotten it in their head. Like,
it was my podcast.
Because of that. Okay.
Yeah. We were flirting the whole time. And then I was like, let's go get drinks. And then we went to Pump, and then we went to Sir, and then we went to Breakroom 86, and then we went to my bedroom.
Okay. I mean, it's a natural progression.
You know, yeah, it was.
Obviously.
17 tequila shots later. And we're like, okay, if you want to go down on me, sure.
Whatever. It's fun. You're single. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can put that one to bed. That you did not hook up with him at the wedding, but you have before.
Yes.
Okay, I have to see if there are listener questions. I did it about... Okay, so I had posted a thing on Instagram to do listener questions, but it was like literally 5 minutes before I pulled into Sheena's house, but a few people did message. Okay, Sheena, can I ask you listener questions?
Yep, let's do it.
How do you feel like the show has changed since you started? And what's the best and worst thing that has come from the show? And what would cause you to leave the show? That's a lot of questions.
How has it changed?
Huge SNL fan.
I mean, it's changed in the sense that, you know, we all make a lot more money now.
Mm-hmm.
Just in, I mean, and not just on the show, but just in life in general. Yeah, we've all like gotten so many opportunities. Yeah. So, you know, we've all upgraded apartments and cars and bought houses. And that's a big part of the show this season is, you know, showing us all, I mean, pretty much almost everyone except Stassi as mm-hmm. homeowners.
Yeah.
And so
she can clearly afford it.
Of course. She just likes her little WeHo bubble. And you know what? To each their own.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I didn't want to buy a house in LA. That's why I bought a vacation home in Palm Springs.
Which makes me so happy because I get to see you there more now.
But so I mean, I think it's changed in the sense that we've all just like really grown up. Mm-hmm. What was the next one? There was like a 4-part question.
Yeah, I know. Best and worst thing that's come from the show.
The best thing, my Vegas show, that mm-hmm. was the best opportunity. And although I did audition for that, like, I don't think if I wasn't on Vanderpump Rules, they might have been like, hey, let's send out a casting call. And maybe this random actress, Sheena, in LA wants to, you know?
Totally.
So I think that's probably the best opportunity that's come out of it. Also, getting a podcast, the podcast one, has been amazing and a dream mm-hmm. come true. Getting to use my broadcast journalism degree.
Yeah.
And
that stuff's only going to continue on. Like, even after the show, like, it's like, you'll always have that credit and all this stuff. So people, you're always going to be one step ahead of, or several steps ahead of, you know, just random actress Sheena.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. The worst thing, I mean, losing relationships, but I know that it was the right thing because those relationships weren't right for me. But I think the worst...
Talking about like Shay?
Yeah, just,
I mean, that would have happened anyways?
I don't know that we would have gotten married necessarily so soon if there wasn't a show. Okay. I think we probably would have waited a little longer, but at the time, you know, the show could end. It could end any season. You never know. And when it got picked up for season two, like, we're like, we knew we were best friends and we wanted to be together forever. We're like, we should get engaged now and get married. Like, it was a mutual thing. We talked about it. Like, we made jokes before, like, if we ever were on a TV show, like, engaged, married, kid, this, that. Like, we, like, kind of had it planned. And then the plan.
Which is surprising to me, though, because he did not like filming and didn't feel comfortable.
He hated it.
So it's so weird that he was initially like maybe into it, but then realized it wasn't for him.
He knew it was making me happy. So he just, you know, was saying what I wanted to hear and was just doing what I wanted and living out my dreams. But I think just dating in general, and it's not necessarily the worst part, but for me now being single the last 2 years, how do I know that the guy I'm going out with wants to be with me because they genuinely like who I am as a person, or if they just want to get some camera time
and gain some followers?
Because Doorman gained 100K from me.
Yeah.
So it's like, if they're like, oh, well, you know, he got a bunch
followers.
Of this. 100K followers. Sorry. Yeah. Not money.
The first time you said that to me, I was like, what? No. How did he get that money from you?
100,000 followers.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, some people are into that. And it's just like, I think that's the worst part of it is just not knowing, even girlfriends, like meeting people in general, you just don't know people's intentions. And I think that's the worst part.
Yeah, I could see that. Totally. What would cause you to leave the show?
Getting fired.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not late. It's been too good.
Yeah.
Oh, this is funny. Somebody is called him Doorman. What does Sheena regret most? This is Alisa. Oh, it's a girl. Alisa 808080. What does Sheena regret most? Marrying Shay, dating Doorman, or hang and bang with Adam?
Dating Doorman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Because I will never regret anything with Shay. If I could go back in time, I would still marry him because that's what felt right at the time. I was in love with him. He was my best friend. I knew.
You guys were a very good couple for a while.
We were. I mean,
sweet.
We complimented each other so well. I was the loud one. He was the introvert. Like, we were a good balance for each other. And I saw how good he was with, like, all six of his nephews. He was so just, I knew he was going to be an amazing dad one day.
Yeah.
And I saw a future with him. I really, really did.
And he was very sweet. Like, that would be, Shay and you were one of those kind of couples where it's like, yeah, so she's like the hot, you know, whatever, you know, like extrovert. But she's got this sweet, steady guy that's just in love with her.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, well, kind of what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
Until.
And I don't want to regret the hang and bang with Adam. Because you know what? Now I've seen his true colors and I think he is just a user and it's sad. But I like, if you asked me a few months ago, I would say I regretted it because I'm like, I lost my best friend. Had we never crossed the line, I could have had a lifelong friend.
Yeah.
But you know what? We did cross the line and his real, real true colors came out. And that's not someone I want in my life forever. That's not an energy I want around. But I mean, it's crazy because I'm like, I almost tweeted this a few weeks or like a couple months ago when I was feeling super emo, but I was like, that's a little too much. Like, it's crazy how the person who helped fix your broken heart ended up breaking it.
Oh, that is good.
You know?
And really sad.
Because like.
But it's true, but that can happen.
He was there for, like, he literally, like, Kristen really was one of my friends who really helped me get through the divorce. And Adam was the person who really got me through my breakup with Rob. Like, obviously I had Janet and so many other friends as well. But Adam was there for me the entire time I lived in Vegas. I talked to him every day. He flew out to see me every 3-4 weeks. I flew back every week. He picked me up at the airport. We hung out every time I was back. Like, he really was a great friend.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was that attraction and it was literally inevitable that it was going to happen. And it was great while it lasted. Like, you know,
well,
now I know
you guys will be friends in the future.
Now I know what an orgasm is. Yeah. Now I know what genuine passion feels like. So I don't want to regret it. It just, you know, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And Adam was a reason and a season.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There's another good little quote. Remember, I want you to get merch that says hang and bang on
yes,
it.
Yes. Hang and bang.
You need to get that for your podcast. So Kaylin's wants me to ask you about freezing your eggs, which I'm very curious about the process. And like, you've talked about it a lot with me, but it's still, because, you know, I should probably be doing it, but I might just say, like, fuck it, we'll see what happens in life.
Yeah.
But I don't know yet.
So I highly recommend it to anyone who's like between the ages of, I mean, anywhere between like 28 and 40, because mm-hmm. some women who are 40 have, you know, amazing fertility numbers and get a lot of eggs. Mm-hmm. My AMH levels, which I can't even think of what that stands for right now, but your fertility levels through mm-hmm. my blood work were 0.28. And for my age, they should be 1.4 to 4.2.
I should at least start with getting that checked.
At least know okay. where your numbers are.
Yeah.
Because once I found out how low my fertility levels are, I'm like, the longer I stay on birth control, the older I get, the more, like, the harder it's going to be if I want to have kids
naturally.
Does the
birth control kill the eggs?
It definitely affects fertility. Yeah.
Damn it.
I know.
Be screwed. Okay.
I know.
Continue.
So that's why once I found that out, my doctor was like, I highly recommend this. And also in my Hollywood Medium reading with Tyler Henry, he told me that he saw me having kids in life later in life in an unconventional way.
Oh.
And I was like, do you mean like adoption, like in vitro? And he was like, kind of like the in vitro sense. Like he goes, something in that realm. And I go, well, I've been thinking about freezing my eggs for the past couple of years. And he goes, you need to do that. And so just that right there motivated me to just get on it now, because I'm like, every other thing that he said to, he told me cut the cord with Adam. He said, this is not your person. He goes, wow. he goes, you're in there's a 6 month period. He goes, we're in it now. And it was about 6 months. It was so crazy. And then it ended and then we started it back up again. I'm like, why didn't I listen to Tyler? He said 6 months, and to just take it for what it was and to try and salvage the friendship. Uh-huh. And I mean, we kept fucking wow. it up. But it was like everything he said was so, pun intended, spot on.
Wow, that's crazy. So, okay, so what else? So the process of like freezing your eggs, like basically you have to treat your body right now like you're pregnant.
Yeah. I literally like feel like I'm pregnant. Like yesterday people were smoking cigarettes. I'm like, I can't be around that. It's just mm-hmm. like, I can't have alcohol. I can't smoke weed. I can't have caffeine. I can't take CBD. Mm-hmm. I can't really eat a lot of simple carbs. Like I'm supposed to just be on a very healthy, low complex carb diet. Mm-hmm. And
so, feel great.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And I mean, I feel amazing. Like I've had a couple moments where I do get like a little emotional. I mean, I'm injecting myself with lots of hormones daily.
Okay, so do you feel that? Like, do you feel like your emotions and hormones?
Something has to trigger mm-hmm. it. So like if there was something the other day, I was filming a YouTube video with my friend Brett, and we were just talking about me being single and like, you know, how I've like dated fuckboys. And he was like, well, if you're going after fuckboys, does that make you a fuck girl? And he said it as a joke, but yeah. I was like, yeah, kind of like, yeah. And I was just like, you know, like I'm not going to act like I'm anything that I'm not. Like, yeah.
I don't even quite know what that term means. Like, what it would a fuck girl just be like you?
No, just kind of being promiscuous and not yeah. really taking anything seriously mm-hmm. and just having fun and having sex and not yeah. looking for a relationship or love. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like fuck boys are just, you know, they just want to get laid and they want to have their cake and eat it too. They don't want to commit.
Well, if guys are allowed to do it, so are girls.
Exactly. And I'm like, you know
what? In long-term committed relationships.
Exactly. And, yeah. And I'm like, I kind of am in that sense, in that, wait, sorry, one sec.
Okay.
Sorry. So, where was I?
I think we're just talking about the
fuck
girl.
Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So he asked me this and I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, call me a fuck girl, call me whatever you want. But I'm like, you know what? When I was single in my early 20s, mm-hmm. things were easy. And I was happy. And then, you know, the first adult relationship I got in, I got married. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out. Then I hopped right into another relationship. That didn't work out. But you know what is working out and keeping me happy right now? Being single.
Yeah.
Dating.
And you're
having
more
fun,
than allowed to do that.
Hanging and banging.
Yeah.
Like, it's working for me right now. And until someone literally, like, I mean,
and
not.
You're being honest with people about
that's
it. That's
the thing.
Like,
I'm like,
screwing
I'm
people
not
over.
Saying I'm only talking to one person. I'm mm-hmm. talking to a couple different people. Like, I'm dating. I'm single, you know? Hang and bang. Like, whatever. I can't do that right now because I'm on injections.
Yeah.
But I see nothing wrong with that because I'm like, until someone, like, sweeps me off my feet, not literally, but mm-hmm. makes me only want to be with them, then that's. Like I haven't had that yet. And until I have that feeling with someone, I'm not going to date someone where I'm still like looking the other way at like someone else. Like
yeah.
I will not commit to someone unless I'm in 100.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that with anyone yet. Like mm-hmm. there are a couple people in the picture right now where, you know, we're going to see where it goes. I'm not having sex at all right now. So I'm forced to take things slow.
Why can't
slow.
You have sex when you're on injections?
Because I could turn into Octomom, Rachel.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Literally, I'm making myself fertile. I am just producing so many eggs right now that I were to have sex,
that's terrifying.
I know. So I'm like, she is closed for business.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Lock me up.
Terrifying.
Yes. So I, so I'm not doing anyone right now or anything like that. But it's just, I'm at a point in my life where I know that I'm not ready to settle down because the next person I get in a relationship with, I think will be my forever. I'm not going to get in a relationship with someone unless I see it going the long run. Then why don't I just casually date and hang and bang? Why am I going to commit to someone when I'm,
why wasted a couple years on someone that you're only like iffy about?
You know, that's wasting their time too. Yeah. Like,
do you think you'll get married again or want to?
I don't know. As of right now, I say no, but also like I act like a hard ass when I'm really a softie and I'm like, ew, I'm never getting married again.
You'll
fuck
get married
that.
Again.
If I do, it will be on a beach in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is I get married to is going to be okay with that because that is what I envision if I ever walk down the aisle again. Yeah. But
I'm never having a big wedding. If I get married,
no.
I'm just not.
I already did that. Did the big wedding.
Not for me. I can't even plan my own birthday party. I don't like planning big things. I don't want to waste money on it.
No.
I don't like it.
Been there, done that. Don't need to do it again. But, and also like, I don't even know if I want kids for sure. Like going back to the egg freezing thing. That's why like right now I am putting myself through this very selflessly. Mm-hmm. Because what if the right guy does come along and he wants kids and I'm 39 years old, been on birth control for, you know, what, 25, 29, however many years at that point. And I like can't have kids.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm doing this now because I am being optimistic that something is going to work out for me in the future. And when it does, I have this backup option. I have this insurance plan. And, you know, also another thing.
That's why it is kind of smart.
Yeah. And another thing I thought of, like, I could get in a car accident tomorrow and have my cervix and uterus crushed. I might have to have a hysterectomy and never be able to carry my own child. But with eggs on ice, I can still have a biological child with a gestational surrogate. So
it,
I just think
now
it
you're
is
convincing me again.
You know, I think it is a very smart thing for women to do if you can afford to do it, and you know, you can, your body is able to take those hormones and put yourself through it. It's only a few weeks for, you know, a lifetime.
Yeah.
Like
it also costs money, but
that's what I'm saying. If you can afford to do it and if your body, you know, is okay to be put through those hormones and everything, like some people are terrified of needles and can't. I mean, if you follow my Insta story, like I give myself the shots and like I was talking to my friend Logan today and he's like, oh my God, you're so brave. I love you. And I'm like, dude, it's like low key kind of fun. Like, thank God I'm not an actual addict because like I have fun with the needles. I'm like, do you want to watch me inject myself? Like, it doesn't bother me.
It wouldn't bother me either.
No, it does not bother me at all. I mean, I have like 22 tattoos. Like, needles don't bother me. I inject my face every 3 months. I love it.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me either.
But
so would you recommend, like, first step, people just get their fertility checked at least?
Definitely just get your blood work done. Check your levels. See where you're at. Because some doctors might say, you know, like, you don't need to do this at all. Like, we don't recommend it right now. But my doctor said around 29 or 30, like, that is a good age if you want to think about it to do it. And again, it's not cheap. So if you can afford it, I recommend it. The meds alone are between $5,000 and $10,000.
Oh, wow.
Just for the injections. Mine this round were only $5,000. Mm-hmm. Last round were about $7,000. And then depending on how many ultrasounds you have, how much blood work you have, the labs and all of that, it can be anywhere between a total of $10,000 to $20,000. It can be on the lower end where the meds are only $5,000 and then everything else is only $5,000 and then, you know, $10,000, you're done.
Does that just depend on your insurance?
Insurance doesn't really cover this, which it should. And that's kind of bullshit that it doesn't because this is, it's a medical thing. It's something that like.
But I think that they know people will do it without that.
Of course. And people do.
Yeah.
But I really just recommend it. Like, I cannot say it enough. I'm such an advocate for this. Like, I'm as much an advocate for Botox as I am for freezing your eggs. Literally.
They're very similar. Very similar.
You know, but I'm just like, I highly recommend it. I would never tell anyone not to do it.
Okay.
Like,
I've been polling a lot of my friends that have had it done.
Yeah.
Who else? My friend Yanni had it done, and she's not as like adamant about it as you are, but
I think because of how low my levels were in the first round, we only got 9 eggs. And people might think, oh my God, that's 9 babies. No, it's 9 eggs. They're not fertilized. They're not genetically tested.
So that's not
so
a
it's
lot.
Like, no, it's not at all. Because once they're fertilized and then, you know, then that's okay, 9 embryos. Then once, you know, you check all the chromosomes and genetically test them all, there might only be 2 that are good. And that's not even to say that those 2, once implanted, are going to take. I could have a miscarriage. Like, mm-hmm. there's so many things that could go wrong. So I know if I'm going to have kids, I was an only child for 13 years. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that unless I'm 42 and, you know, I can only have 1 kid. Then that kid's going to be really fucking spoiled and mm-hmm. live a great life.
Yeah, good for
but that. Ideally, I mean, ideally 3, but like 2 is like, I think perfect. Like a boy and a girl. If I had 2 boys, I would probably try a 3rd time for a girl.
Yeah.
But also, with doing it this way, you can pick the sex.
Yeah.
Because you know when the embryo, you'll know if it's a boy or a girl.
But not necessarily if you only have a limited amount of eggs, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, if I only have 2 good ones and it's only 2 boys, then it's like, okay, well, that's all my chances.
Yeah.
But by doing it a second round, I'm hoping even if I only get 9 more, that's 18. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing.
That's good. That's enough. Yeah.
And this time.
Oh, so they kept the first 9, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
so
totally.
You just get 9 more. Okay.
Yeah. So, but this round, so they count your follicles. And mm-hmm. I don't know all the technical terms and all of that. But when I started the first round, I had 3 follicles on each ovary. Mm-hmm. And this time I started out with 8 on one and 5 on the other.
Oh, great.
So more than double where I started out last
time.
You're
going to be octomom in no time.
I know, right? So today I just had to start a new shot, a new injection called it was called Cetratide last time, I think. What is it called exactly? Ganirelix, I believe.
That's just another hormone.
Ganirelix, yes. So that actually prevents me from ovulating, because if I start ovulating, then I'm losing the eggs I'm producing.
Got it.
They have to like stop it so I don't get a period, because I can't lose all of the eggs I've been producing.
Sense. Okay, that makes sense.
So that also, the Cetratide I was fine with. The Ganirelix has made me a little nauseous today, uh-huh. which I had to get on an anti-nausea pill, and I'm drinking a soda water right now. My stomach's a little calmer now, which is great. But there are certain drugs that are, like, I did Gonal F the first time, and this time I'm on Follistim. I did Cetratide last time, and this time I'm on Ganirelix, and they're more cost-effective. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if those weren't around last time or why I spent more money last time.
Yeah.
But there are alternative options out there that, I mean, granted, it made me a little nauseous, but I'm like, you know what? It was a couple hours. I feel fine now, and it's a very small sacrifice to make for a future.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, Chyna, thank you for doing this.
Thanks.
And thank you for schooling me on the whole egg thing. I need to at least get the fertility test.
Yeah, just if you want to come with me on one of my appointments and just like get some blood work done, that's just, I think, the first step, because then you'll know your levels could be perfect. Because, I mean, like, we're about same age.
Yeah.
So, you know, yours should be between 1.4 and 4.2. Mm-hmm. And if they're even 1.4, that is on the lower end. You wait a few more years, they could drop.
Okay.
So I think it's just good for everyone to get checked. I mean, same as you get checked yearly and, you know, you get a pap smear and you check all of that. I think it's smart to get checked for this. It's a simple blood test that just lets you know where your body's at. So you know when, if you're not ready, you know when to freeze your eggs or not. And it's just, especially at my age, I feel like so many women are just like, you know, oh my God, I'm in my mid-30s. I need to get married. I need to have babies. Like, I'm getting old. And it's like, with this,
you don't have to worry about that relationship that might not be the
stress is completely gone, because I'm like, even if I don't meet the love of my life until I'm 40 and say I'm too old or can't carry my own kid, I can get a gestational surrogate and, you know, she can carry it for
me. You've almost fully convinced me now.
I really, really do recommend it.
Well, tell everyone where they can find you. Not that you need to, but, you know.
So follow my podcast, Shenanigans, on Podcast One or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. I have episodes out every Tuesday except for this week, where sometimes we go on Wednesday, Thursdays, depending on my availability. Mm-hmm. But also I'm at Sheena. It's S-C-H-E-A-N-A on all social media platforms.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I have new music coming out soon, too.
Where will you release that?
That'll be on iTunes, Spotify, on all of the
awesome. When's platforms. It come out? Do you know yet?
We have to master it in a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to shoot a music video, and hopefully by the end of summer, I will have two more songs out.
How exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. You guys can follow me on social media at Rachel N. O'Brien. That's R-A-C-H-A-E-L-N-O-B-R-I-E-N. Bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.